All right. Good evening, Refuge. So as was shared that the title today is The Church Chosen, Deborah, Barak, and Gideon. So it was just interesting how Stephen went into Judges on Monday, and then Dom went through the New Testament, and now we're back in Judges. And what was interesting to me is that while we were preparing for this, everybody knows we chose our people that we want to study early on. And I think it was like 2 days later, I got a jury duty summons. And I was like, how interesting is that, a jury duty summons when I'm doing a study in Judges, right? So I go in and I walk in yesterday and I'm sitting in jury duty and I'm thinking like, okay, I have my Bible with me. I'm going through the study, make sure any last minute checks and balances are like, is everything good on this study? And I started thinking, look at our jury system. We have 12 jurors, we have 12 tribes, 12 judges, and you have one judge over those. I mean, it's just interesting. It can't be coincidence that we set up our judicial system much like how it was in Judges. And I just found that very interesting as I was sitting there just thinking about that. And that, I mean, God plans out, I think, our lives. We know it. He plans it out even before we even know it. And he knew he was going to give me jury duty at the same day I was going to be there, same week I was going to be studying Judges. And it was just interesting how all that came together. Good thing is they called my name like before it even got started, and I was out of there faster than anything. I think jury duty is worse than the DMV. I really do. But really, now going into it. So the devotion I want to share tonight, of course, is from the book of Judges. So please open up your Bibles to Judges chapter 4 is where we're going to start. But before we get into it, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time to be able to go through your word and study Deborah and Barak and Gideon, Lord, and the wisdom that you've given me even through this time, Lord, even some of the misconceptions that I had thought when going into it, and giving me that wisdom of, Lord, hopefully just understanding your word better, Lord. And I pray that you just remove myself out of the way tonight, Lord. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and it reaches out, Lord, that anything that I may get in the way of, that you remove that and you just speak through me tonight, Lord. So we just give you all the glory and praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the three main points we're going to cover tonight, and when we're talking about the church chosen, is God chooses the church to carry out his word. The second point is the church is chosen for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And three, God chooses the weak things of the world to show his strength. So those are going to be the three main points. And when we look at the church being chosen, are those three points. So now getting into it, I know Stephen covered it a little bit on Monday, but you have the book of Judges. What was happening there, right? Israel would fall under oppression or, you know, from following after Baals and Asherahs, and they would fall into oppression and suffering because of them falling into idols. So God gave them over to that, right? Heard their cries, saw the oppression they were going through, sent a judge. The judge comes, removes them from the oppression. The judge dies, and Israel just goes back into that same cycle. Right? It's a continuous cycle that you see through the book of Judges. And it's just, when that judge died, they went back to their evil ways, and that's why even Stephen was saying is that it got to Samson. It was worse than all the other ones because each generation it got worse, as it's described. You can look it up in Judges chapter 2. But in Judges chapter 4, we're going to read 1 through 9. So it says, "And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of the army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippodeth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, He's not the Lord. Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera and the general of Jabin's army and to meet you at the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I surely go with you. Nevertheless, the Lord on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose, went with Barak to Kadesh. So Deborah was a prophetess, right? And with her being a prophetess, and she judged Israel as she sat under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel. Deborah summoned Barak and states in 4:6, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? I think it's interesting there. And when I'm looking at Barak, right, he was already told. He already had knowledge. And Deborah was just confirming that knowledge that was given to him, right? Has not the Lord told you to do that? Deborah, having the Lord with her, knew that God had called Barak to do that. Being a judge, the Lord was with each of the judges as they went through that, and she had that knowledge. And God was telling her to go, to tell Barak to gather an army and go to war with Sisera. Barak's response was, I will not go. If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And Deborah responds by saying, I'll go with you. I will go with you. And quite honestly, I often thought that with Barak saying these things, I was like, why is Barak being so weak, right? When reading through it, why? I was completely misunderstanding, I think, what was happening there. Because when you read through Hebrews 11, Barak is listed in the Hall of Faith with Gideon there as well. So I was wondering, well, why would he be listed in the Hall of Faith if he lacked faith at this point? And I go, I must be looking into this incorrectly. I must be thinking about this incorrectly. And so I thought about it, and I go, well, the thing, maybe he wanted Deborah. He knew the Lord was with Deborah, so he wanted Deborah to go with him, knowing that the Lord would give guidance through Deborah being the prophetess. And I go, Barak, while still not listening to what the Lord did at first, he made a mistake. He didn't listen to that initially. But there was faith there, knowing that the Lord was with Deborah and wanting the Lord to be on that battlefield with him to give direction and guidance. And it's just interesting as I read that, I go, why was he listening? It should have been Deborah listed in the Hall of Faith, not Barak, but it just had to be. The Lord's not wrong in his word, right? And we know that he puts it out there, and if his name's listed, there's there for a reason. So with that being said, you know, that was one of the things that really struck out to me this study as I was going through it. But even through that, right? So Deborah says, look, I'll go with you, but that glory is going to be taken from you, and I'm going to give it into the hand of a woman. And I think Pastor Raul has been telling us week after week, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, right? And I think I looked at a lot of commentaries on this, and I kept seeing commentaries that said the glory was given to Deborah. Glory was given to Deborah. But it wasn't. I think the glory was given to Jael. And the reason that is because Jael, ultimately, through the battle with Sisera after they'd driven him out, drives a tent peg through the temple of Sisera. And even through Deborah's song, the glory was given to Jael there for the defeat of Sisera. So, what does that mean for the church, right? All this, the church being chosen, what does that mean, right? We see Deborah's story. What does that mean for the church now? So, looking at it, Deborah was a prophetess, right? And what did prophetess or prophets do? They spoke the word of God. They were given special revelation, and they spoke the word of God. They didn't have the word of God like we have today, and they were given that, and they spoke the word of God. And so the church also has been given the word of God, right? We've been given the word of God. Our instruction comes from the word of God, so we are to share the word of God. We are to follow the word of God in both our actions as well as reading it, understanding it. It was said on Saturday, study it like a Berean. This word was given to us to give it out to the rest of the world. And we need to live that word as we read it and take that and live it out. So the church was the chosen instrument to teach and proclaim God's word, right? We didn't need that special revelation. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." In 2 Timothy 4:1-4, it says, "I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." I think this is a very important instruction for us to use it, right? God's word was given to us. It gives us all the wisdom that we need to be able to teach one another, to be able to study his word, to correct one another at times, to do that rebuke of one another when we see something's going wrong, right? But the church is supposed to study this word and then share the word with others and then use it as an instrument to correct, reprove, to teach, all those things within the body of Christ, right? So teaching it within the body of Christ and then taking it out into the world and showing the world Christ through our lives. Second point, the Holy Spirit has also been given to the church to help discern, direct, teach, serve, and so on. So the Lord gives us and will give us the same wisdom given to Deborah when she knew that Barak was supposed to go out and battle Sisera. That same wisdom is given there and is given to us because we have a helper, right? In John 14:26, it says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." We have been given as the church, we've been given the Holy Spirit. We were chosen to be that instrument in which the Holy Spirit will indwell with us, right? Stephen on Monday said the Holy Spirit came upon those judges, but us as the church comes into us, right? So we'll read a little bit about that also in Gideon, right? So looking at those two points from Deborah is that the church was chosen to spread the word of God, to share the word of God, and to live the word of God. And the second point being that the church was chosen to be to have the Holy Spirit indwell in each of us. Now, transitioning over, we're going to look at Gideon and the life of Gideon and what was accomplished through Gideon and how that relates to the church. So Gideon is actually the next judge right after Deborah. Right? And in Gideon's account, the Midianites were now oppressing Israel. Gideon was the weakest of his entire tribe. He was the weakest in the entire tribe of Manasseh, as it says there. But let's start reading in Judges 6:11-16. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our father recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian.' And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?' And he said to him, 'Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.'" Stopping there. I would love to kind of go through this entire story of Gideon because it's an awesome story or an account. So Gideon knew that he had, after this, found favor in the sight of the Lord, right? And the Lord instructs him, I want you to tear down the altars of Baal and Asherah, which of course belonged to his father. He said, tear down those altars, right? And as Modesto was saying earlier, we're not to be given to fear, but what did Gideon feel at that point? He felt fear, right? He felt fear at that point when he was like, I'm going to go at night, right? Reminds me of like Nicodemus, right? I'm going to go at night and I'm going to tear down those Baals, the altars to Baal and Asherah, right? And I'm like, okay, great. He's tearing down these idols that are in the land, right? And then he has to build an altar to God and sacrifice a bull on top of it using some of the things that were broken down from the other altars that were placed there. And interesting enough is that even through all this, right, his dad still came out and defended him as they saw that he had broken down those altars, right? And he said, let them judge if they're real, right? If they're real, let them judge him, or let them contend with him. Let them handle him, right? But what he does is so Gideon knows that he's found favor in the Lord, right? And now moves forward, and looking at verse 34, right? In the account of Gideon, and when the Amalekites crossed the Jordan, the word says, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. I think out of reading the entire parts of Gideon, when it talks about, when we go into it in a minute, the breaking down the army and all those things, the thing that stood out to me is, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, right? All that was happening, like, he's about to go to war. He's the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh. He's not strong in might, but God says, go in this might of yours, whatever it is that you have, right? He knew he was weak in his tribe, and he goes, but the entire time, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. Right, and what did Gideon do? So he sounded a trumpet, and the Abiezites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to the Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they went to meet him. Right, so all these come out, and an army is given to him of 32,000 people. 32,000 people come out to wage war. I mean, at that time, that was a great number to have with you, right? I'm going to have 32,000 people. I mean, look what Deborah and Barak did with 10,000. Here's my 32,000. I have a great army. This is amazing. The Lord's with me, right? But then comes chapter 7, right? And God says, God tells Gideon his army's too great, right? So send all the fearful ones home. Get rid of them. So how many leave? 22,000. Has an army left of 10,000. The same number, and I'm sure it is well known, and the story shared of Deborah at that time, that there was 10,000 men that defeated the army of Sisera. But now, he's down to 10,000 men. It's still doable, right? Deborah was able to do it. I can do it with 10,000 men. Lord says it's still too great, right? Tell them to go drink some water, right? And whoever doesn't drink by bringing their hands to the mouth, send them home. How many were left? 300, right? An army of 32,000 to 300 people. All right, Lord, what are you doing? So back to what Modesto said. Was Gideon like, all right, I got this. I'm going to take care of it. No, he was fearful. Right? He was fearful. But get what the Lord does there. He gives him comfort. And he says, Gideon, go down to the camp, take someone with you, go down to the camp and just listen. And I'll give you some confirmation there as you go down to that camp. And that's exactly what happens. He goes down there and he gets encouraged by hearing what was said there. And he's like, okay, I'm ready for war. Right? I'm ready to go to war with you, Lord. And so God gives him that sign to do that. And so, so the Lord gave him that sign, and that would encourage him. So we can see what Gideon does there is he divides the camp into three, right? Kind of surrounds them, I would assume, and starts banging jars and blowing trumpets and making it sound like, wow, we have a vast army here, right? But it was only 300 people. And what they do is they The Lord does a great work there and ultimately gives the victory to Gideon, right? And what happens with that is they saw something so great. What did the people of Israel want to do? They wanted to make Gideon their king. They said, rule over us, you, your sons, and your grandsons. You can rule over us. We saw what a mighty work you did. We want a man of valor like that as king. Right? We've heard this story before. It's nothing new, right? Mighty man of valor, let's make him our king and rule over us. They wanted a king. Gideon's response is, I won't be your king. The Lord is the one who's supposed to be king of Israel. He says, the Lord's supposed to be that one. Now, Gideon wasn't without fault either, right? Because right after that, he goes, just give me the spoils of war, and we'll build an ephod, or I'll make an ephod. And the people started to use it as an idol. They worship it, and it's mentioned as a snare to Gideon. It's a trap. It's a snare when hunting. It's mentioned as that, and the people used it as an idol, and they began worshiping this ephod that was there. So, taking this now, seeing Gideon's story, how was the church chosen? First of all, Gideon would not have been the world's first choice, right? Being the weakest in Manasseh. He would have not been one we said, let's go get the weakest tribe in Manasseh and show victory at that point, right? But when God chose Gideon, I think he knew that Gideon was going to be obedient to his instruction. It wasn't about how great he was. It was he going to do what God instructed him to do? And we see this in the church. In 1 Corinthians 1:27-28, it says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are." I think most of us in the church are glad he uses weak things, right? We're glad he uses. Not many of us can say that we're someone who's highly esteemed and great among the world's eyes, right? Many of us come from humble beginnings, or we're not known as something as strong. And not speaking for everyone, but knowing that that's my position as well. I was weak. There's nothing desirable about myself. Sin resides in me. All those things there. But God still chose me, just like he chose each of you here who are believers in Christ, to go out, even though we're weak, and be strong. Right? Our strength in the church is not by our numbers, but our strength is in the Lord. While we may be considered a small or medium-sized church here, great things can happen through God's work, right? Preaching the word of God, taking it out into the community. Great things can happen even in small numbers. So don't think you have to be a part of a large church or a great gathering. God does great things with those who are willing to be obedient to him. And I think that's what we have to do as a church. We need to be willing to be obedient to his word, and he'll use us and he'll make us strong to do even things that we deem unimaginable. So three important things that I found in these accounts. One, listen to God's call and obey, right? Barak didn't immediately listen, but Gideon did, right? Tear down any idols, right? If you have any idols in your life or things that are standing in your way between you and God, tear that down, get rid of it. And remember that the work of the church is to God's glory and not our own, right? When they built that ephod, and they started worshiping it, it took away from the glory that should have been given to God as they began to worship an ephod just because it was made from the spoils of that war. So let's remember, no matter what, whether it's a promotion at our job or we got the raise that we needed, we can so easily, Lord, give me more money, I need that raise. But we can also so quickly turn around and say, I deserve it. I deserve that. But really, we're not deserving of any of that. God gives us all things that we have. So in conclusion, the three main points: God chooses the church to carry out his word, just as he chose Deborah to be an instrument to share his word. The church is chosen for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, just as the Spirit clothed Gideon. He clothes us and is in us. God chooses the weak things of the world to show his strength. Gideon was not the best selection to carry out his word, but he did, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, and I thank you for just even being able to do this study, Lord. I thank you for even reading through it and understanding, Lord, that you choose the weak things of this world, Lord, that even through our fear, as Gideon had that fear, you give us that comfort that we need, Lord, as well. But Lord, even with fear in that place, Lord, to understand that it's your will, Lord, and that you're with us, Lord, that we're not a church to be fearful. God, we know you're with us. Allow us to be bold in all things, Lord, that you've instructed us to do, Lord. So I pray just even for this evening, Lord, as we get together in our groups and just pray, Lord, for your will and your guidance and your direction in this church, Lord, that you just be with each one of us, Lord. I pray for everyone here. Allow us to be strong in your word, Lord, and to seek your guidance every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.